No, so my court reporter has like five young kids, and she spent her own funds to wire the courthouse. And so every lawyer gets a lapel mic, and Jerry handles that for her, and she takes the record from home. She says her records are much more clear and clean, especially since I talk so softly that she can hear every single word. So
Really?
she still takes the
She's still at home.
She's still at home, except for dire, because you can't wire that well enough. But I allow her to do that, and she's much more efficient that way.
Right.
So when we have a shortage of court reporters in the state, in the
Right.
county, so to the extent you can accommodate them, that's great.
Yeah, we do have a real shortage.
Let me add one point in follow-up to what I had said previously, which I forgot to mention. On the issue of mandamuses, one thing to sort of note is a week ago today, the Supreme Court of Texas actually granted relief on an issue involving a virtual trial where a trial judge wanted to go to a jury trial virtually over the objection of both parties. And both parties filed a joint mandamus petition in the first court of appeals. The first court denied it, correct? And
Right.
then the Supreme Court just granted it a week ago in a very unusual order in the weekly orders, conditionally granted the petition without argument and basically said that the trial judge had not demonstrated good cause to proceed over the objections of the parties, and therefore case had to go to in-person jury trial. So
So what was really interesting in that case, they asked the trial judge to file a response to the mandamus, and she did not. So, yeah, so
Right.
that is pretty unusual. I mean, we've had it occasionally, like if a trial judge is failing to rule on something and both sides have said, please rule, please rule, please rule, please rule. You know, sometimes the trial judge will write us a letter. I'm working on it. I'll get it done. Please hold off, you know. But yeah, it's pretty unusual to require the judge to
Right.
respond.
But with this new rule, though, it raises the issue of whether the trial judge has a burden at all, because if you have parties objecting to proceeding to a virtual trial, it's the trial judge that has the onus to find good cause and to articulate good cause. And if the parties don't want that to happen, the parties aren't going to help the judge in determining what grounds there are for good cause, and the judges will have to do that on their own.
And so, from both the trial perspective and then the appellate perspective, let's start with Judge Miller from the trial perspective. When you have something like this proposed Rule 21D, it's Texas Rule of Civil Procedure 21D is the proposed amendment. It's talking about this good cause standard. When you're hearing good cause in this context, I mean, what's kind of going through your mind in terms of is it I who have to justify this, or is it, you know?
I'm probably one of the worst to ask that question because I think everything should be in person as much as we can, especially a jury trial. So we have great control of our schedules, and I would just delay the trial if there's something that came up. But again, I think we have a few of my colleagues. Well, I think we have one of my colleagues that wants to do a virtual jury trial, and the rest of us are back in person.
Yeah.
Logistically, it's really hard on the county, because you're supposed to provide every juror, every panelist, their own laptop or their own whatever device to get on, and set that up. So you're having constables out there delivering them to the panelists, and then it takes a long time to do the voir dire. So it really increases the time and expense, I think, of any trial if you don't do it in person. I can see the need for a virtual jury trial in West Texas, where the counties are really, really huge, and people may have to go pretty far to actually do a trial. That may be better for the actual juror. But my understanding of how the virtual jury trials were occurring in Harris County was it wasn't as efficient as we'd want it to be. And so I'm probably a bad judge to ask that question too.
Well, you know, I mean, the new rule is pretty much a no on jury trial unless there's agreement of the parties. And which our task force was, you know, fine with that as a potential rule. Although it's interesting, if you're in JP court, you can still have a virtual jury trial. Because the JPs have, they have kind of a different jury pool service. Like some JPs, you come down to Harris County to the main one and you get sent out to a couple of the JPs, but other JPs have their own jury call. Mm-hmm. Right? Because, you know, they have a certain area that they call from. They don't call from the whole county. And so they just have their own little jury call, and they have found it very easy to manage a virtual jury trial in JP court. So, and it's only six of them, too.
It's only six. It's a very small area.
Right.
And the cases are so small.
And they're small, right.
Like, why?
Well, 50,000 now in JP court. Mm-hmm. That I mean, you know, that's not too small.
Can you raise ours to like a million?
Yeah. yours is still $500.
And they raise the county court up to like.
Right.
That would be helpful.
Yeah, wouldn't that be fun?
That'd be very, very helpful.
Yeah.
But so I don't know what good calls would be in those situations, right? So my goal is not to get mandamused on that to either of these people or for not ruling. So I try to be good on that.
So that's actually a really good segue into my next line of questions for y'all. Trial courts, obviously, I know you want to get it right. You want to get the law right. You want to avoid having something overturned because you just blew the law.
That's, right.
No judge wants that to happen, not even an intermediate appellate court justice like Justice Christopher and Justice Jewell.
I have felt the sting of mandamus myself.
So the question is, there's some